the series on the minor prophets, and we're having a series break right now. And you may be wondering, bakit po ako nasa harap nyo? It's because Pastor Erwin was invited to speak in GCF Marikina. Ayan. So we praise God that our pastor is not only being used by God to minister here, but also in other churches. In fact, we'll have two series breaks. We'll have one this Sunday and another next Sunday. Wala pa rin si Pastor, and he will be speaking in GCF Santa Rosa. So someone would actually be in the pulpit to give the message for next Sunday. But we praise God that we have this opportunity, or at least for Pastor Erwin. In fact, nung last Saturday, yesterday, he was in IMI, you know, the company IMI in P3, in Technopark, giving Bible study to the employees of IMI. So we really praise God for how mightily Pastor Erwin is being used. I think Pastor Erwin just came in. So, today I'll be giving the message, and kinabahan naman ako bigla. The title of the message is Choosing Faith Over Fear in the Storms of Life. And this is based on Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. And similar to the other message or messages that I've given, it's actually a consolidation of the many topics that we had in our growth group. You see, we have growth groups. Dun po sa growth group namin, every Friday, we discuss topics, and one after the other, we come up with, you know, related topics, and what I do is just to pull it in and compose one whole message. For this particular message, it's based on the book of Max Lucado. I know you're familiar with that. It's entitled Fearless. And then we had some articles discussed, taken from United Church of God Philippines, and the application of this message is actually taken from a book entitled Deliver Me from the Negative Self-Talk by Lynn R. Davis. Makikita niyo po sa bulletin niyo, I have there the outline. So I'll be covering three topics right now, and I'm showing it to you on the screen. The first one is Why Are You Afraid? Second, followed by O You of Little Faith, and then I'll have the third, which is an application in itself called Faith Mindset. Yeah. So you can refer to your bulletin. And as I've mentioned, the core verse or passage is taken from the chapter 8 of Matthew, verses 23 to 27. And every Sunday, after Sunday, we encourage you to bring your Bible, whether yung hard copy or electronic. So right now, I'll be asking you to do that. Can you pull out your Bible, you know, bring it out, and turn your Bible or your electronic device to Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. And let's all read from the English Standard Version, if that is... I will also be flashing the verse on the screen for those who do not have the Bible. So let us all stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. And let's read all together Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Let's start. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep, and they went and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him? May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads and let's commit our time to the Lord with a prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, bless us in the study of your word today. Give us the wisdom and open our hearts to receive the message you have prepared for us. Use your servant mightily as your mouthpiece and footstool to bless your people. He is unworthy to speak before your church, and it is only by your grace and mercy that he comes in front of your congregation to deliver your word. May only one name be lifted high, glorified, and exalted. And that is the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we humbly pray and all God's people say, Amen and Amen. You can now take your seat. And so let's start by watching the video clip regarding this passage that she was through. So.
Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?
So let's start studying this passage, and let's start with the first topic, why are you afraid? Pag tinanong ba kayo, pag marinig niyo itong question na to, if you hear this question, why are you afraid? What would you feel? I think you would just feel normal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this question, right? But what if this question was asked when you are in one of these situations? Say, for example, you have a sickness. Let's say, you know, you have found that you have a tumor in your body. And then, nagpa-biopsy ka, you had it checked, and then you're about to get the results of the biopsy test tomorrow. And then, a friend or a relative would say, why are you afraid? And you would say, are you asking me that question? I mean, is that a valid question? Nakita mo nang may sakit ako, and then you're asking me, why am I afraid? What about if you are to have, you know, you're on the verge of losing your job, or probably your business is not making good and you're, you know, bound to be, you know, going to the wrong direction of bankruptcy. Or what if you are in a situation, you're, you know, on the side of a bed of a dying loved one, and, you know, about to say goodbye to him or to her, or you're on the verge of having a divorce, or having, you know, a big fight with your daughter or your son. And then you hear this question, why are you afraid? Somebody would ask you, why are you afraid? And you would say, you know, are you joking? Is that, you know, is that a joke? Or are you serious in asking me that? And what if it's not a loved one, it's not a friend, but in fact it's Jesus. Jesus Christ will be asking that question. You know? And I would say you would feel awkward. Is Jesus really serious in asking me this question? You know, that's how the disciples might have felt during that time. And this is what is given in the passage. So what I'll try to do in studying this passage is I'll try to give some details on the storm and just try to relate it with the kind of storms we had in our lives. You see, the disciples actually went through a great storm. It's written on the passage. There arose a great storm. And therefore, they should be fearful, right? Well, you might say, not necessarily. Depende, kasi iba ba namang bagyo, iba bang klase yan. May malakas, may hindi. So, the question is, how great is really the storm? And that is the question. And when Matthew was writing this verse, this account, he was actually choosing a very unique word. He actually didn't use the thunderstorm or like, you know, rain showers or something to describe the kind of storm that they had that back then. He used the word seismos. Are you familiar with the word seismos? You know, some of the words that we have currently in our vocabulary gets its origin in seismos. We have seismologists. It's the one who study the earthquake, right? Seismograph is an instrument to measure the intensity of an earthquake. And so when Matthew was writing this one, he used this Greek word seismos, the Greek word for seismos, and described that great storm. So it's like an earth-shaking, sky-shaking event that they have experienced. And if you're still not convinced that this is a great storm, do you know that Matthew only used this term, seismos, in three occasions? One, it was during the earthquake when Jesus died. Nung namatay si Jesus, you know, the earth shook, he used the word seismos. Another one, when Jesus resurrected, there's an earthquake, the term he used there, seismos. And the third one, in this passage, only three times. You talk about the trilogy of the earth-shaking events in Jesus' life, and you found this great storm in equal billing with Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And so it's really a great storm. How about you? Do you have that kind of storm in your life? You know, that kind of storm that is so overwhelming. Yung talagang hindi mo maubos maisip kung paano ka lulusot sa gandang problema. It's so big, it's larger than life. In fact, the way you find it, it's an impossible situation. You couldn't think of any solution to your problem. Do you have that kind of storm? You know, Matthew would further describe it, you know, with behold. You know, the verse 24 would say behold. In other translation, it would say suddenly. Well, not all storms would come suddenly. Many farmers would know that. When you know, hours before the storm would come, they would notice on the horizon, clouds are forming. And so, you know, hours before, they still have time to prepare and gather, you know, whatever things and, you know, crops they would have and keep it safe. But this storm, based on the verse, it says suddenly. You know, it's like a lion coming out from the grass. It's suddenly. How about you? How many of your storms came suddenly? Alam mo yun, yung kahapon lang ang saya-saya ako, pero ngayon, bigla na lang, ang laki na ng problema ko. You know, this is something that I have not anticipated. It really caught me off guard, you know. And you ask yourself, how could I miss this one? You know, how could I not see it coming in my life? Now, some storms are like that. Maganda yung, I also would like you to note, no, there's the way the sentence would actually be combined. Matthew would write, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. I know Matthew is just speaking plainly and describing their experience, but the connection between the two sentences, you know, it's like telling, we followed and we had some storm. And it's a gentle reminder for all of us, Christ followers, that, you know, that when we actually followed Christ, we are, you know, sometimes get soaked. In fact, if you look at the verses just before this verse, makikita nyo doon, few verses up, makikita nyo doon, the cost of following Jesus. And it would describe, you know, the verses would describe what it takes, or what will it cost you to follow Jesus. Do you ever have that storm? Na sometimes you would feel, It's so timely, no? It's so coincidental. On the time that you have decided to follow Jesus, doon pa magkakaroon ng problema. Diba? For others who have been in the ministry and working for church many years, sometimes, you know, bakit ganon? After all the years that I've served, bakit ganon? Bibigyan pa ako ng Panginoon ng ganitong kahirap na problema. Do you have that kind of storm? And do you feel that way sometimes? You know, Jesus said, in this world, you will. Not might, not maybe, not could, but you will have tribulations. Christ followers get cancer. Christ followers bury their children. Christ followers face bankruptcy. And that's a reality. The prosperity gospel is selling well, you know, because the message that they sell is that when you follow Jesus, everything goes well with your life. You have a good marriage, your children will, you know, will grow up very well, you'll do good in your job, you have so many properties. And that is a lie. But many would choose to believe that. And so in this storm, it's really something that makes you wonder, you know? After all this time that, you know, you have followed Jesus or you have decided to offer your life to Jesus, you know, you would receive these storms. And that's how exactly the disciples might have felt. I like the one that Max Lucado gave in his message. It says, it's not the absence of storms that sets Christ's followers apart, but it's who they discover in the storm. And so now, let's go back to the question. After describing the kind of storm that the disciples have, you know, it's really life-threatening, and they are sure if that would continue, they will die, you know. Jesus would call out to them, why are you afraid? And if you are the disciple, you know, how would you feel? Probably, I would say, you know, with all due respect, Jesus, you know, are you serious? Or is this some kind of joke? Is this a valid question? It's more like a question that you ask from someone who just went out of the pool and you say, why are you wet? It's something like that, right? It's a question to the obvious. Why am I afraid? Because I'm in a situation that is frightful. And so you don't understand. The disciples that doesn't understand the context of that question, you know. And I hope this is the first time you will read this passage and it would have its full impact. But the last part of verse 24 would read, but he, Jesus, was asleep. We went through all the describing how is the storm and all those things. But Jesus was asleep. Did you ever felt in your life when you are in the middle of the storms that you feel God seem not to answer you or to hear your prayers? May mga ganung panahon, di ba? Na ang laki-laki na ng problema mo, ang bigat-bigat na ng dinadanas mo, and when you pray, and you pray hard, you know, persistently, it seems that you don't feel the presence of God or He's not answering you. You talk about, you know, metaphorically the phrase, natutulog ba ang Diyos, di ba? Although in this case, He was actually sleeping physically. When I tried to research the meaning of this one, actually it's a very good passage because on my research, it would say, you know, we're just studying six verses, short verses, and in these verses contains two proof of Jesus' humanity and Jesus' deity. On one moment, makikita mong pagod na pagod si Jesus and He would sleep in a storm. And then the next thing, you would find Him, you know, commanding the winds and the waves to calm, to be still. Alam niyo, sa panahon na yon, people believe that there's no man can actually have power over the nature. Kung meron mang tao, if there's a man who would have that power, he's not a man. He is God. So that is actually a proof that Jesus is a God. So that's one meaning of that. And, you know, talk about the sleeping. I missed to mention that this passage of Jesus calming the storm, it actually appears in three of the four Gospels. It appears in Matthew, then in Mark, and then in Luke. So actually, what we have been studying a while ago is in Matthew. But you look at Mark, because Mark would be giving additional details for this one. On verse 38, it would say, but he was in the stern, you know, asleep. So he was sleeping in the stern. How many of you are familiar with the stern of the boat? It's actually the back of the boat. In first century fishing, you know, the boat would look something like this one. And at the back, if you refer to the back, there's a deck. Nakikita niyo yung deck. And what happens is, kasi during the time, mabigat yung net. The net is very heavy. And so in between castings, you know, what the fishermen would do is put the net here and then cast one net, you know, and then the next one. Lagayan nila yun ng net. And some scholars would say, most probably, it's not practical to sleep on that stern, on that deck. And some scholars believe that it's not actually on the stern, but inside that cubbyhole. Do you notice that hole, you know, underneath the deck? There's a hole, a cubbyhole. And in fact, if we refer to the next verse Mark 4, it would say he was in the stern asleep in the cushion. Now, this is not a pillow, you know, fluffy pillow that Jesus would have. This is not. It's most probably a leather sandbag. Kasi yun po yung ginagamit nila in that time to stabilize to stabilize the boat that they have. So what they do, nilalagay nila itong leather sandbag inside that cubbyhole. And so most probably with those information, Jesus was sleeping inside that cubbyhole on the stern of the boat. But that is more on the Mark accounts. But when you are faced with problems and you feel, you know, you feel that God is sleeping, quote unquote, or you don't feel that God is hearing you out or responding to your prayers, you know, it reminds you of a similar incident in 2 Corinthians where Paul was asking. In fact, the verse would say three times Paul would ask, remove, tanggalin mo yung thorn in my flesh. Paul would ask that three times. In fact, the scholars would say probably not three times. It indicates most probably the diligence. Paul was asking this repeatedly. But God would repeatedly deny. He would not answer Paul's request. In fact, God's answer would just be, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so, You have a big storm here. You have a big storm here. At least that's how the disciples would feel. And you find Jesus asleep on the stern of the boat. And so what would their reaction? Matthew 8 would continue, and they went and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. This is how they responded. I'll discuss parehas on Matthew 8 and also on Mark 4. But for Matthew 8, it gives this account, save us, Lord, we are perishing. In the original Greek context, this is actually three staccato Greek words. No? And it's saying, Lord, save, dying. Ganun lang simple yon in the original text in Greek. Lord, save, dying. No time for chit-chat. Kaya talagang ano na eh, emergency na. But the English translation would soften it like, save us, O Lord, we are perishing. Now, this is how Matthew would account it, but it's very interesting how Mark would say it. Mark would say, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care we are perishing? Did you notice that question? It's a question of God's goodness, right? Of God's character. The disciples were fearful, and sometimes fear has that effect on us. Fear makes us question God's character. How many of you went through that situation? And let's be honest, no? Your problem is so much for you to handle. You know, napakahirap na nang dinadala mo and it's still going worse. And you don't know how to explain what's happening in your life. And to the point that it will make you feel, you know, God, do you not care? It's a question of God's character and goodness. Not only that, you know, it numbs your memory. At this point in time, this is on Mark 4 or Matthew 8. If you look at the passage in Matthew 8, on top of that, Jesus has already made miracles, you know, healing different diseases and sicknesses, casting demons, evil spirits. He even healed the mother-in-law of Peter. Before that, naalala niyo yung kwento of the centurion who has big faith, saying, Jesus, you don't have to come to my place, just say the word and my servant would be healed. That's before this event. Even before that, Jesus was healing a leper just by touch. And so these disciples have witnessed, they have witnessed Jesus made miracles many times. But when they are there, they were fearful and nobody remembered that. Not only it would have like a loss of memory of a spiritual Alzheimer's, but fear can also demand, you know, make us demand God to solve our problems immediately. Ganun po yung nangyayari, the usual. You know, when we have a big problems, what we do is, Lord, come here, save me, heal me, repair this problem, fix the issue. Instead of us going in the presence, you know, and the stillness that you have in God, we actually demand God to go into our situation and, you know, repair our problems and issues. You know, those are the things that fear makes us do. And it's not only for the disciples. I think it's very true in each one of us here. Human as we are, sabi nga natin. And so we now go to the question, why are you afraid? The next verse actually is an answer to that question. O you of little faith. Did you catch that? The reason why we are afraid is because we have little faith, right? We have little faith. That is what this verse is saying. So let's go to that phrase, O you of little faith. On your bulletin, I actually wrote there in introduction, when our faith is weak, fear enters in. Where we find fear in our hearts, faith is usually absent. You see, fear and faith are two, not probably opposite, but opposing condition in our hearts. You can never have fear and faith occupying your heart at the same time. No. Either one could only occupy it. Either you have faith or you have fear. You can never say, you know, I am filled with faith, but I'm fearful. No. That's how it is. Remember our experiment in science in elementary days. Naalala niyo po ba yon? Yung when we have two liquids of different densities, we are mixing oil and water. You know what happens? And we actually place one liquid on top of the other. Naalala niyo ba yung experiment na yon? And we would recognize that, you know, we actually color one so that we can see how one would displace the other. That is the same case with fear and faith. You either have faith or you have fear. And fear can actually displace your faith if your faith is too little. And so this passage, you know, would give insight that Jesus has allowed the storm in the disciples' lives to reveal the true condition of their hearts. And they have little faith. There's an interesting passage in Luke 18, verse 8. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And that is true. You know, faith is very important to God. It's really important. In fact, there's a verse that says, you can never please God without faith. Right? And so it's very important for Him that you would be in a situation, you would say, you know, why would you give me? It's very important for Him that you show faith. And you can only show great faith in the midst of great storm. Right? I have a trivia question to make. Okay. So let me just say, when you think through all the books in the Bible, and you think of all the do's and don'ts of the Bible, guess which one, you know, do's and don'ts meaning commandments, which one is repeated the most? I have listed here, you know, the top commandments here. You can go through them. And just read them one by one, and then just look and ask yourself, which one of these commandments is the most frequently mentioned in the Bible? And let's have some show of hands, okay? Sino sa inyo would think, na if you know, you look back after reading, you know, whatever you have read in the Bible, would think that do not lie is the most frequent commandment in the Bible? Can I see some show of hands? Wala? Okay. How about do not steal? Do not steal, no. How about love your enemies? Uy, kailangan tumas kayo ng kamay. Baka walang magtaas ng kamay. Love your enemies. Wala. How about do not murder? Any one of you who thinks do not murder is the most frequent? You have to raise your hands. Yeah. How about do unto others as you'd have them do to you? Yeah, siguro. Wala. Oh, and the last one, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, love your neighbor as yourself. There's some hands shown there. How about the others? And so the answer is, the answer is none of the above. It's none of the above. And so which one is it? Which one is it, do you think? And it is, drum roll, dun, 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 do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. In fact, someone, one article, counts it in the NIV translation, and he counted 70 times. Just the do not be afraid, not the other variants. Because there are other variants like fear not, do not fear, and the likes. In the message of Max Lucado, he counted, you know, and combined all the forms, like fear not, take courage, do not worry. And when he counted that, you know, he came up with a tally of 125. 125. Now, don't get hung up on the math. Of course, you know, these are just counting. Don't count it and get back to me, Brother Elias, it's not 125, it's actually 119 only. No, that is not the point. The point here is the most frequent command. You know, the most frequent command given in the Bible is do not afraid. And what that tells us, you know? Is there by any chance Jesus was saying that he is so concerned for, you know, for his people that he knows we'll get frightful, we'll be afraid when we face crisis in our lives. And he would have these commandments given unto us every time. Right? Is there by chance na kaya binigay ito ng Panginoon so many times? It's because so many times we would be frightful in our problems. And it's reality. Totoo yan. When we have problems, we get frightful. The top two commandment mentioned by Max Lucado is love God 8 times. It's a far second. Now, don't get me wrong. The greatest commandment is and will be love God. That is the greatest commandment. That is still written. But that is not the point of this one. It's actually the most frequent. And it's just saying that Jesus or God is concerned about your emotions of fear and how it overcomes you when you are having problems. Now, let us also be clear that the emotion of fear, it's not a sin. It is not a sin. When we have a healthy dose of fear, you know, God-given fear, that's the very same emotion that prompts us that when we wake up in the morning or one day na nasusunog yung bahay natin, it's the same emotion that prompts us to get outside and save ourselves. Right? And we are also told by the Bible to approach God in fear and reverence. Right? In fact, one passage would say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's actually the fear, the emotion of fear is not seen. But when we are overcome, paralyzed by this fear, that's, you know, and we choose not to believe on the promises of God, but choose to believe the power of fear, that's, I think, would be something that would not please God. And so if we have the problem fear, what is the antidote? The antidote is when we pick it up from OU with little faith, that means we must have faith. And how do we have faith? Romans 10:17 would say, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And that is simply the message, my brothers and sisters. Mga kapatid, ito po yung, this is just the message that I have for you. If you have problems and you are fearful, it's just an indication of the condition of your heart. Ibig sabihin, wala po kayong faith sa Panginoon. And you are being tested in your faith. And the way you would have faith is bumalik kayo sa Bible. You read the Bible, go back to the Word. You go down on your knees and pray. You soak yourself in the presence of God. And that's how you would have faith. Know the God who is the object of your faith. How great is your God compared to the storm that you have in your life? And I think that's the one that the disciples have missed out. If they would look back, you know, nandun, you see the scene and the storm is there, but if they would just realize that there's someone sleeping in the stern, a person who is actually the same God who made, you know, in the creation part, in Genesis part, who made not only the sea, not only the mountains, not only the landscape, but all of the things on earth. And not only on the earth, but all the planets and all the stars in the vast space of the universe. That's how big our God is. If only they would reflect back, who is Jesus? You know, compared to that storm in the sea, you know, would you think that would give them courage as they face the storm? I mean, the right perspective. And so when the winds of a storm hit hard, do not focus on the waves of water crashing over the boat. Instead, focus in faith by asking yourself, who is in your boat? You know, Christ promised us He would never leave us, He will never forsake us, and He will be with us all throughout. He is in your boat. Even when you face the storm in your life, He is in your boat. And you go to Him. When this was, you know, when we were dealing with this in growth groups, I shared with my growth groups, you know, growth group kami. And then we were asking ourselves, kung kayo nandoon, what would you do? May bagyong ganyan, ang lakas. Then I shared with them one of the men of in the groups of Max Lucado. Ang ginawa niya, the answer is, I would go to Jesus and cuddle up with Him. Doon ako ihiga. And I would just sleep beside Him. Even if hindi ako makatulog, I still feel safe. Because I am sleeping or, you know, lying beside Jesus. And that's a good answer, right? It's a recognition of who Jesus is in His life. And that is the same thing for you, my brothers and sisters. If you're facing a storm in your life, ask this question, who is in your boat? He will never leave you nor forsake you. I would like to share with you a testimony from a Christian gospel singer. His name is Tim Timmons. He actually was diagnosed of cancer many years back in 2001. And the thing about his cancer, it's terminal. It's incurable. It's not by face or something, but it's the nature of the cancer. It really cannot be cured. And he was given max of 5 years. That's it. He would live 5 years. But that was given to him many years back. And looking back how he dealt with his storm in his life is given in this video. It's a short clip. Let's watch this one.
As many of you know, in 2001, I was diagnosed with an incurable cancer. They gave me 5 years to live at that point. But I'm pretty clear about the fact that I'm not defined by cancer. That does not define me. They say that I've got 4 tumors on my liver at the moment, and that the way that it'll take me is that it's always wearing out my heart. That's kind of what it does. But the question I keep coming back to is, what does God say about this? Like, what's his response to this? Who holds the outcome of my journey? Who holds the outcome of your story? The outcome of me not being able to be at both my daughter's weddings and walk them down the aisle and do the daddy dance with them. I can be brought to tears at any moment. And I think of my boys not being able to watch them grow up from boys to actually become men. Those things just haunt me. And in that, I have the opportunity to lean into perspective of the kingdom of God or the perspective of just my natural eye. To know that I am yours
forever. I like what he said, you know. He had cancers, but he refused to be defined by cancer. He was saying, you know, he was asking the question, who holds the outcome? And so what if I have cancer? Who holds the outcome of my story? My story is not cancer. It's a terrible story, and I refuse to accept that. He was saying God. He was saying, do not look life through the lens of circumstance. You know, we live by faith, not by sight. We have problems, we know that. But we are called to live our life not by the circumstances that we have in our lives, but to live in faith, but through the lens of the kingdom of God. In one of the interviews, he would say, the gift of cancer is perspective. Wow. As if there's a gift in cancer, right? There's a treasure in cancer. It's perspective. Perspective of who you are in Christ Jesus. How big is your God in all of these things. And that's exactly what happens to the disciples. I mean, like, you know, closing this verse, at the last part of this verse, it would say, then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, what sort of man is this that even winds and sea obey him? There was a revelation of the character of God, of the nature of God, of the goodness of God, of his faithfulness. And that's what storm does in our lives. After we went through the storm, there is a revelation of how good God is in our life. How he would provide and sustain us. We just have to abide. He will provide. He will sustain us. He will give us nutrients. He will supply our needs. But we would have to abide like a branch. And that's how, you know, this would end up. A revelation of the glory of God. And we just give glory and praise to our God. And so how do you put this one into an application? You see, all of us have, or all of us talk to ourselves, not in a foolish way, like, you know, nasisira na tayo ng ulo. Not that kind, but we have internal dialogue inside of us, right? And when we have this internal dialogue, it's actually in the mind that all this fear would come about. The mind is the battlefield. No, it's in the mind that we first receive the negative thoughts. And the negative thoughts would tempt you to say what you see, you know, through the lens of circumstance. And what I want you to know from this passage is you have to challenge yourself. Don't say what you see. Declare what God's desire of you. And have a faith mindset. The faith mindset is simply this. And every time you have negative thoughts, you have to capture those bad thoughts and control them in obedience to God's word. That's it. Pag nakakaisip kayo, you start thinking of negative things, you know, naku, paano na kami na itong ganyan? Catch yourself. And then refuse to believe that. You know, that's a lie from the enemy. Refuse to believe that and, you know, be prepared to call a promise from God. You know that this is not a physical war, right? The Bible tells us this is not a physical war. This is a spiritual war. And the only way to win a spiritual battle is to fight it using spiritual weapons. And those are the Word of God. You're down on your knees praying. You soak yourself in the presence of God. That's how you win the spiritual battle. And so, let me just give you some specific illustration. So don't say, my entire body aches, I'm just falling apart. But instead say, sickness and disease shall not lord over me. Right? You claim a promise. I'm so exhausted, I really don't feel like doing anything today. No. refuse to say that and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not the human strength, the human kind of strength, but the divine supernatural strength that only comes from Christ. Instead of saying the headache is killing me, pray over that headache and say, headache, I resist you in the name of Jesus, and by his stripes I am healed and made whole. Right? Instead of saying, I can't do that, I'm too scared, what if I fail? Refuse to believe that. That's a lie. But instead claim this, I am courageous. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, power, and love. Many of us would say, wala na akong pera, I'm broke. Refuse to say that. You are a son of God. You are a child of God. Instead of saying that, say, I am abundantly supplied. God is supplying all my needs according to his riches in glory. You know, someone would say, everyone else is doing it. Why shouldn't I? Because the Bible would say, God has called me out of darkness and into his light. I may be in this world, but I am not of this world. And I refuse to be conformed by this word. Many of us would have, you know, depression. Don't say, I'm depressed. That's a lie. That's the enemy attack on you. But say, I have the mind of Christ, and he has given me the peace that comes only from him, that surpasses all understanding. And that is the truth, and that's the one written in the Bible. You don't say, I just can't stop this bad habit. No. Say, I am not tempted or tried above that which I am to overcome. I am made more than a conqueror. God said that to me. And finally, don't say, God is not answering my prayers, so maybe he's not listening. No, my friend. No, my brothers and sisters. What God says in the Bible, God is mindful of you and me. And he hears you when you pray. And that's how you fight the battle in the spiritual realm. I would like to share with you the stories of two wolves. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this one. Let's read. No? Let me just read. One evening, an elderly Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside old people. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves inside us. One wolf is evil. It is fear, anger, jealousy, regret, greed, self-pity, guilt, resentment, arrogance, and ego. The other wolf is good. It is joy, peace, hope, humility, kindness, truth, generosity, compassion, and faith. And then the grandson thought about it for a moment, then meekly asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? Then the old Cherokee replied, the one you feed. It's the one you feed. My brothers and sisters, faith and fear both demand that you believe in something that you do not see. Both of them. When you are in fear, you're actually fighting a ghost. You're actually putting faith to the plans of the enemy. That's what you're doing when you are fearful. You're trying to believe, you know, what's worse that could going to happen. And the enemy is feeding you those things. And you're choosing to believe that. Against choosing, you know, the faith that you have, the hope that you have in Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a choice. You have a choice. God has given you a choice. And that's what the title is all about. And if the title of this message, you know, is not enough, let me just show it again. Choose faith over fear. Choose faith over fear. You have a choice. And let me just leave you with this quote. You know, if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. And let that quote be an encouragement to you, especially those of you who had this problem that you are facing right now that may be overwhelming, impossible. You know, it's so sudden. And it's something that you don't know what to do anymore. Just have faith. ask the Lord through His Word. Go down on your knees and pray and just soak yourselves in the presence of God. And so we come to the conclusion and we actually go back to the first question that we had. Why are you afraid? And we look back on this question and see that could it be that Jesus was asking this not only to rebuke us that we have little faith, but also to say us, why are you afraid? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be fearful because I am with you. Because I promise to be with you, not to leave you nor forsake you, even in the midst of your storm. And that promise. And the lesson simply is God takes away our fear through the faith that He gives. And the storms of life are often the times we go in faith the most. And this is also given in your bulletin. And so, my friend, may this message serve as encouragement to you to choose faith over fear in the storms of your life. Let's close in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear all-knowing and sufficient God, we confess we so often feel weak.